Hello, okay. Welcome to Embracing Vulnerability. Now, today, resource and outlet comes from a book called Raising Your Spirited Child. If you do not know what a spirited child is, chances are you do not have one. So, the book Raising Your Spirited Child author is Mary Shetty Kersinka. I'm sorry for butchering the last name. You can get this book on Amazon. I don't recall where I bumped into this book. Probably somewhere in TikTok. Or one of the content creators that I follow, who is a father, recommended it. So on page 131, it's talking about soothing and calming activities. Warning, you're going to hear pages turning. So the soothing activity they recommend are sleep and siesta is one of them. For example, if you know that your children have been in school from 8 in the morning to 2 o'clock, or 8 in the morning to 3, 9 to 4, whatever the schedule is, and you have extracurricular activities for them after school, it is important that if you have a spirited child, that you give them a break between the school and the after school activities. It helps them recharge, whether they're introverts or extroverts. Meaning, if they get out of school at 3, try to get extracurricular activities that start at 4 or 5, because at least you're giving them an hour to recharge. I know some parents like to think school, they're stressed from school, they're tired from school, they're barely doing anything. Wrong, okay? That's a very, very dangerous way of thinking, because if your children are exploding after school, chances are they had an overwhelming day. They're not exploding for no reason. And I know a lot of us, and I'm including myself, like to think there is no reason for children to be exploding. They don't have no stress, they don't have no bills and things like that. Being social all day can be exhausting. Being in a classroom with 10, 20, 30 children who are all different comes with different things. Today we may be friends, tomorrow we may have a problem because you want to play with the blue marker and I want to play with the blue marker, so then we're bickering all day. It gets tiring to bicker with someone back and forth. It gets tiring. I don't know if you get tired, but I get tired. I try not to bicker with people outside of my loved ones. If it's a stranger in the street telling me crazy things, I keep it moving. I feel like I will not be giving energy to strangers because they're having a bad day and they're taking it out on me. Another soothing activity that the book recommends is water. Okay? Warm or cool, water can be a soothing entity to spirited children. I love water, so I agree with this activity. Some people like to come home from a very overwhelmed day and go in the bathtub, turn on the hot water, turn on the bubbles, get a cheese board or some wine or their favorite book, and they'll soak in that tub for 30, 45 minutes, depending on how their day looks. I know I'm guilty of that. I will get in that bathtub and disconnect myself from the entire world and read some manga or a book in there with my wine. Another soothing activity is imagination. Most spirited children have a vivid imagination. You can use it to help them moderate their intensity and have fun. You can play dress up with them. I know the other day I pretended to be a pizza and my children were the ingredient. My daughter was the cheese, my son was the pepperoni, and we were just going to town with that imagination. They were happy, they were relaxed, they enjoyed it. Kids, we think that they need to go to Disney World and they need to go to climb mountains and do this and that and the third, but the simplest activities can get them happy results, can get them to shift their moods really quickly. Also, sensory activities. Spirited kids are very sensuous. They enjoy activities that allow them to touch, smell, taste, hear, or see things. Using their senses can calm them down. You can use something as little as getting a few disposable cups, getting some, what do you call those, coloring, is it coloring food? Food coloring, okay, you get food coloring, it could be red, green, blue, the basic colors, and you can get white beans. And you can have a batch of red beans, you can have a batch of blue beans, or whatever color beans. You can have a bin, put the beans in there, and pretend that you guys are selling beans. Or you guys are in a land that discovered beans. It can go anywhere, and they'll enjoy that. Another soothing activity can be physical exercise and repetitive motion. So again, those after-school activities like karate, tennis, soccer, any of that, as long as there's a break between school and the after-school activity, that's great. Some kids enjoy reading as a soothing activity. Some kids might enjoy deep breathing as a soothing activity. You can tell them breathe in, then you exaggerate your own breathing to demonstrate what you mean. Then you say breathe out again, exaggerate your own slow release of breath, holding up your thumb as a birthday candle to blow out may also help to draw out the nice long breath. Another soothing activity can be humor. Okay, maybe if your child is having an intense day and they throw themselves on the ground, get on their eye level, throw yourself on the ground, pretend to be a noodle, pretend to be, I don't know, a lifesaver, a life jacket, and pretend you guys are stranded in an island. The kid immediately will start laughing because now they're thinking, why are you on the ground? I know why I'm on the ground. But now that you're on the ground, I'm curious, and I'm shifting from thinking about my emotions to wondering what's going on with you. Your silly self down here with me. Humor is definitely a delightful tool for reducing intensity. Now, this is a controversial one. Timeouts as a soothing activity, not as a punishment. So instead of being an opportunity to teach our children to take a break in order to regain control, it has become a dreaded order. Think of timeout as a basketball coach does, right? An opportunity to take a break from the action, refresh the body, and pull the game plan back together. Taking a break means finding a quiet, comfortable spot. One way to make that spot more accessible and inviting is to create a calming basket for every room. Fill each basket with stuffed animal, books, Legos, quiet toys, stickers, markers for drawing, and any other things that calm your child. Encourage your child to select a favorite soothing activity from the basket to play with until his body is calm. You are not encouraging poor behavior, you are calming him. Let me repeat that for the ladies in the back and for the daddies in the back. You are not encouraging poor behavior, you are calming him. The teachable moment will come after the child is calm. Remember that if kids learn to take a break before they blow up, there won't be any misbehavior. Once children have learned to respond to the cues their bodies are sending them and understand timeout as a healthy opportunity to deal with their stress, they can call for a timeout themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but this book has taught me a lot. It has actually made me evaluate my behavior in front of my children, because if they're intense and I'm intense, that's only escalating it. That's not de-escalating. It's not helping them and it's not helping me. I'm a very intense person, so therefore my children are intense as well. For me to want my children to not be intense people is very hypocritical of me, because their genes come from my genes. So if they're spirited, I'm spirited as well. We need to understand that before the lesson can be taught, we have to draw our spirited children to us. Choosing to draw your child to you does not mean you are giving in. A warm, sensitive response to your child's negative emotion can actually open the gates to the teachable moment. Being the parent of an intense spirited child requires a great deal of thought, focus, and attention. It's exhausting. It's very exhausting. any parent out there, especially single parents, know how exhausting it can be to be your best self every single day, to try not to add to your children's plates emotion, because we going through our own thing. That's why it is important that you also know what to do when, regardless of your best efforts, everyone drops over the edge into the red zone. Meaning sometimes it doesn't matter if you do 100 activities that are calming for them. They're just very intense. Very intense, very up there. And you just start to wonder, am I a good parent because I cannot get this child to calm down? It's potential to create as well as wreak havoc, however, makes it one of the most challenging temperamental traits to learn to manage. So, intensity is described as the driven force behind the strong reaction of the spirited child. It is the invisible punch, that makes every response of the spirited child immediate and strong. Manage well, intensity allows spirited children a depth and delight of emotions rarely experienced by others. Its potential to create as well as wreak havoc, however, makes it one of the most challenging temperamental traits to learn. I'm still reading from the book, little things that I highlighted. Teach your child that timeout is a way to take a break and feel better. Help your child learn to notice their cues, the changes in her body that signify rising intensity. Teach the children the words to express their strong emotion. Provide activities that soothe and calm, such as warm baths, reading, and quiet imaginative play. They're repeating that one more time. They're repeating to use humor to diffuse intense reaction. Protect their sleep. Make time for exercise. That way, the soothing activities can help, right? But sometimes the soothing activities aren't effective. Too many transitions, too many stimulations, or too much stress. And now your child is on a rampage. The force is penetrating. You feel bruised and maybe even powerless to respond. The genetic makeup of spirited children that foster a tendency towards steamy reaction makes them much more vulnerable to spillover meltdowns, a flood of emotions that overwhelm them and pushes them beyond their temperamental ability to cope. These children need our guidance to help them calm themselves and regain self-control. Without our guidance, they can rage for hours because their inner restraints have busted, letting loose a hurricane of wild emotion. It's distressing as a parent to witness. It's frightening as a child to experience. Your spirited child does not want to go there. It is critical to recognize that it is a spirited child swarmed by his own emotion, pushed beyond his ability to cope. His brain has been hijacked. He does not know what to do about it or how to stop it. We have to teach them. Keeping your cool, missing an insummable feat. The harder you try to control your child, the more ineffective you feel. Intimidation does not stop spillover meltdown, but listening does. And I know it's hard when we're having a day where we need to cook, we need to prepare to go to church, we need to prepare to go to an activity, and we have a timeline on our head that makes it a little bit difficult to try to sit there and soothe someone to be able to cooperate so that they can go smoothly. Listening does not mean agreeing with the spirited child. It does not mean you are giving up your authority, nor does it mean you are going to allow your child to get away with their poor behavior. I know I have to sharpen my listening skills because I'm not 100% a gentle parent yet. I still have my parents' way of teaching inside of me still runs deep. Going back for your own redo, if we are honest with ourselves, we realize that perhaps we played a role in the meltdown too. Not intentionally, of course, but because we too are learners. Tell yourself the following when the child's having a meltdown. They're flooded, their brain is being hijacked. They're not doing this to me. These thoughts will help you remain calmer. And those are some of the tips I'm reading right now about the book. The book is mostly calling me out. When I say that this book is calling me out, I mean, look at what it's saying. This child, who could drive me crazy, possessed personality traits that were actually strengths when they were understood and well guided. The characteristics are intensity, persistence. They love to debate and are not afraid to assert themselves. Sensitive. Every sensation and emotion is absorbed by them, including your feelings, right? Receptiveness. Adaptability. All of these activities signal a struggle for slowdown to adapt. Spirited children. Regularity. An 8-hour night of uninterrupted sleep is a mere memory lingering in your mind from the days before their birth. Although sometimes viewed as wild, their energy is usually focused and has a purpose. Right? This book has called me out I don't know how many times. What I do enjoy is that they're telling me that I'm not alone. I didn't make my child spirited. I am not powerless. I have the permission to take care of myself. When I address my needs, I calm myself, making it easier to calm my child. Progress, not perfection, is the goal. Your spirited child is not trying to be difficult, but their whole life they have been hearing that they're difficult. I understand that because I've been called difficult many times in my life. They're quoting something from Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison invented the phonograph, the electric light bulb, the telegraph, and the motion picture camera and projector. He was a man who didn't know when it was time to quit. We celebrate his persistence, single-mindedness, perceptiveness, and drive. These are individuals who have learned to understand themselves, to manage their strength, and to minimize their weaknesses. They are normal. They are more than normal. They are spirited. I remember I also read in another book the same thing about Thomas Edison, that when he was young, the school told his mother they weren't going to teach him because he was just unable to be taught. They gave up on him. The teachers gave up on Thomas Edison. You guys, Thomas Edison. I'm continuing to butcher many names. They gave up on him. So his mother instead had to homeschool him. And look at what that man became. She had to lie to that child and tell him, you cannot go back to school because there's just nothing that they can teach you. They can't teach you anything. You're just a great student. Now I have to take it upon myself to teach you. She could have, that woman, what if that woman would have broken? What if Thomas Edison's mom would have broken and decided not to educate that man? What would have happened? I mean, somebody please point me to a Thomas Edison mom book so I know the struggles the women went through. Imagine you're told by the school that your child's, no one is able to teach them. Imagine a school failing your child and telling you, your child is beyond dumb. We do not have time for how dumb he is. I can only imagine how terrible his mom must have felt. I mean, just like other children, you know, your spirited child with your guidance will ultimately be successful negotiating the activities and responsibility of a regular day. Often, they will excel. So it is our job to help them excel. I do believe as parents, it is our job to help them excel and to rephrase the labels. Attempt to not call your child difficult. Try. I know it's very hard because I say a lot of things to my children. Sometimes I catch myself and I change the words because the things we do say to them does impact them in the long term. Think about the spirited children you know What words do you use to describe them? Do they sound like the million-dollar words created by advertising companies? Words that can make you wish you could have even more children who are spirited? Are they kind? Are they the kind of descriptors that would make others envy you? The opportunity of raising a spirited child, labels that make you puff with pride, smile in appreciation, and chuckle with enjoyment, positive words that focus on what's right instead of what's wrong. Let's be honest, that's unlikely. And that's the type of things that even as a child, I have told my mother. You know, my mother till this day calls me Russian. And the definition of Russian to her means that I'm difficult. That I am being, how do you say, for a better lack of a word, just difficult. Russian means difficult when my mom is describing me. And I've never took it as an offense. I've always stood my ground and believed in what I believed and disagreed with her in certain topics respectfully. I was not being aggressive with her. I'm not disrespectful with her. In a respectful way, I disagree with her in a lot of things in life. And that's okay. We don't have to agree with our parents and our loved ones about everything. We have to be unique. It is important to be unique. Yes, we can have traits of our parents and our sisters and our brothers and our neighbors. But it's imperative that we have our own traits as well that are unique to us, that we defend, because that's what makes us us. I hope you have learned something from what I have read with this book. I know this book has been teaching me a lot. That's the book I'm reading currently. If you are having a difficult day, I just want to tell you that you are doing a great job. Take a break. Listen to what your emotions are telling you. Drink water. Drink a lot of water. I know a lot of us love caffeine, but caffeine sometimes can intensify the anxiety and the racy heart. Water will help you. Water can help you calm down and take a break, whether it's room temperature or cold. Drink your water. Eat your lunch. Do not skip meals. I know I'm a fan of skipping meals, and it is not healthy, okay? It's not healthy. Eat your meals, drink your water, take your breaks. Let's try to work with our spirited children. Let's try to be better each day. And even if we're not good today, there's always tomorrow, okay? We don't have to be okay all the time. Instead of having a bad day, we can change our vocabulary to say, I am having a bad moment. I am having a bad minute. I'm having a bad hour. You're allowed to have that. Those negative times. Just do not let those negative emotions drive your whole day. Okay? And I'm here for you as you are here for me. Let's continue to learn through every experience. Until next time. You see? No. The whole thing is called, let's continue to grow with every experience. Yeah. Grow, learn. Kind of the same thing, but you get it. Thank you for listening.